It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast. We stack the card each week. These are the games that, for me at least, carry the most intrigue, kind of in an ascending order here. We stack it like a wrestling card. This week, in honor of it, to give it a little bit more flavor, we're going to add some theme music to each of the sections of this.
Oh.
Yeah, a little entrance music for wrestlers that correlate with these certain parts of the card. And these are the actual wrestlers that Nick Caserio named when he was on with us a week or so ago as his favorite wrestlers in ascending order. But we start with the undercard. We do LA Knights. LA Knights theme will run underneath this. The undercard are the kind of, you know, the games that are flying a little below the radar. Maybe not two teams with very good records, but there's good storylines here. The Jets and the Patriots, I am intrigued by, because we've got a team that fired its coach a couple of weeks ago, and we've got another team whose coach seems to be teetering on the brink right now a little bit. Yeah. Former phenom Gerard Mayo,
yeah,
as it turns out, might not be very cut out for this coaching thing, according to many up there.
Even though he was hand-selected by Bob Kraft as many as five years ago. Yeah.
So, this is a that's the storyline coaching wise. It's we've got an interim coach with the Jets going against a hot seat coach with the Patriots. This is a game the Jets absolutely positively have to win if they're going to retain any hope. If they're going to retain any hope of getting into the postseason, and I'm telling you, you're a Texan fan and you're rooting for an outcome in this game, root for the Patriots. Because this, if the Jets lose this game, that's a season killer. Like, that's a dream killer, and that's the version of the Jets. You will not get a desperate version of the Jets on Thursday. You will get a our season is over version of the Jets on Thursday.
I'm pulling for the Jets in this game, and they are heavy favorites in this game.
As they should be.
Almost a touchdown favorites. Just because I really want to see Bob Kraft, who has reportedly been jealous of Jerry Jones forever and the fact that Jerry Jones gets all this credit for revolutionizing the league and everything. I'm looking forward to Bob Kraft becoming Jerry Jones, but with less revenue.
Mm-hmm.
I think if there's one thing that we've seen so far in the last couple years, it's that the brand, the Patriots brand, is just light years away from ever being the Cowboys brand.
Oh, yeah.
And there's nothing you can ever take away from Belichick and Brady unless you want to focus on Spygate or anything else like that. But, like, their record is what it is, and they did incredible things. And but the owner, who should be able to capitalize on all those championships and turn it into a brand, it seems like the Patriots are just an afterthought in New England.
Yeah.
They're just kind of a blasé, like, whatever. We're not really a football town anyway.
Right. Well, Boston sports fans are on to other things. Their championship basketball team just started their defending the championship season on Tuesday this week. You know, they're on to that, you know?
The other part of it is that there's a part of me that I would love to really see, just for the purity of it and the enjoyment of good football, I'd love to see a resurgence by Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that Aaron Rodgers has thrown 6 interceptions in the past 3 games.
Yeah, he might not be good anymore.
That's the worst stretch he's ever had for interceptions in his career.
Yeah.
Does Devontae Adams make a difference? But does Hassan Reddick make a difference?
Oh, yeah.
On the other side of the
ball. A little Hassan Reddick action back, yes.
And already formidable Jets defense gets Hassan Reddick back
this
week.
As games between 2-5 and 1-6 teams go, this one's got some pretty juicy storylines. Mm-hmm. Plus, it's the Texans' next opponent, and so there's that component to it as well. The other undercard matchup, Baltimore at Cleveland. This will be the first game post Deshaun Watson for the Cleveland Browns. We get a Jameis Winston start here. We get Baltimore coming off just a complete annihilation of the Buccaneers on Monday night, and this always has a little bit of juice because the Ravens are the zombie Browns. You know, they used to be the Browns, and now they're the Sith Lord Browns. You know, they're Darth Brown. You know, so there's always that element to it as well. That storyline.
The Browns. The one good thing the Browns have going for them right now is that their run defense is actually really good.
Okay.
So the Derrick Henry dynamic and I think Derrick Henry was held to 60 yards rushing or something the last time that he faced the Browns last year.
Okay.
Normally that might be, and I've seen that build as the marquee matchup in this game. The problem is that the Ravens also have Justice Hill, who's been the best running back receiver in terms of explosive plays in the league this year. You saw that on Monday night.
Sure.
I mean, the entire second quarter was more about Justice Hill than it was Derrick Henry.
Yep.
And then Derrick Henry comes in the second half to really just slam the door
shut on
the Bucs.
Yes.
Yeah. The 1-2 combo of those guys, that's the scary thing. And then obviously you add Lamar Jackson to the mix. What's the line in this game? Are the Ravens favored?
Ravens got to be favored.
I guess 12.
No, I don't think by that much. The Ravens have got to be favored. I'll look it up. I'll find it, Seth. But yeah, you're Ravens are
favored by eight.
Okay, eight and a half. Yeah, so they're more than a touchdown on the road. Does Jameis give them a little bit of juice? It maybe keeps this thing close. You know,
I can't take another Jameis Winston speech.
Oh, I want the Texans to sign Jameis now just to see how you handle this whole thing.
We're going to get another one. We'll get at least one pregame, and we'll get whatever he says in the postgame. It's going to be super dramatic.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right, let's get to the mid-card. Flush Jameis.
I kind of miss drunk Jameis. I wish he would just go back to being drunk.
I don't know. I like this version. All right, we see CM Punk music, the mid-card. Buffalo at Seattle. This is a matchup between two division leaders right now. I know everybody probably is like, yeah, Buffalo, division leader. That makes sense. Seattle? Yeah. Seattle's leading the NFC West right now with a 4-3 record. This is a pretty intriguing game between two teams that don't see each other very much and are complete opposite ends of the country from one another. This is a fun matchup. The Seahawks offense, they can score some points, man. And Josh Allen going out there playing in that environment, in that noise. This is a nice AFC versus NFC matchup.
And that noise and the Buffalo offense hasn't been good on the road, as we noticed.
As we know firsthand.
As we noticed, yes. Which is still, it's like, okay, they haven't been great. They average 21 points per game on the road. So it's not like they just dreadful and abysmal, but they haven't been as high powered. And that is it's a hard place to play out there in Seattle. So, yeah, Amari Cooper being in the offense for an entire week, not probably having to be fed information by Keon Coleman and everything pre-snap.
Right.
That's where it might get really, really interesting for the Bills. This is like Josh Allen and the way he's playing this year. He hasn't thrown an interception yet, but Josh Allen will be the first to tell you that, yeah, I have.
Probably should
I've gotten
have,
lucky.
Yeah,
yeah, like I threw two interceptions in a row to the Texans.
To Aziz Al-Shire, of all people. Yeah.
Yeah. So he actually said that. He's like, no, I've thrown some interceptions. Yeah. I've just gotten lucky.
Yeah.
So this is a real test of on the road in a really hard place to play, but you've got Amari Cooper now.
Yeah, so it's kind of a sneaky 3 o'clock window, 4 o'clock window game. I kind of like it. The other mid-card game, Philly at Cincinnati. For a 4-2 team... I don't know what to make of Philly. Like, their fans hate them right now, it feels like.
They hate
Sirianni. They're 4-2.
Yeah. You know? They're not using Saquon Barkley enough, and yet Saquon Barkley's averaging like 150 yards a game over the last four games. It's just,
Me or you?
People in Philadelphia, Sean, I don't know if you're aware of this or not. This is what it is. It's Saquon Barkley's averaging 7.6 yards per carry over the last four games.
Oh, my God.
So I can appreciate where they might feel like, all right, yeah, let's feed him the ball even more, please.
Yeah.
But the Eagles are still one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And
they're up there.
There's a lot good going on. I think their defense. This is a really interesting thing about these two teams right now. So Philadelphia and Cincinnati have both been embattled over the first part of the season, mm-hmm. not playing up to expectations. Over the last couple weeks, they've looked a lot better.
Yes.
Here's the thing. Both these teams over the past 2 weeks have both looked a lot better while playing the Giants and the Browns.
Oh, they played the same two teams. Okay.
Yes.
That's really interesting.
They've had common opponents over the last 2 weeks, and they're both really, really bad teams.
Oh,
so how much of it is real and how much of it is Fugazi?
This is fun. This is like a high school jamboree, like round robin.
Yeah,
and these are the two teams that are left playing each other in the finals. Like this is an in-season tournament is what this is.
I was looking at it, and I'm looking at, wow, the Eagles defense hasn't allowed a touchdown in the last 2 weeks. I'm like,
the worst.
It's the Giants and the Browns. Okay, the I got gotcha. You.
Worst in-season tournament ever. Browns, the Bengals, Eagles, defense, Giants.
The Bengals defense has figured things out in the last 2 weeks, and then I'm looking at them. I'm like, wait a second. It's the
Watson.
Giants and the Browns again.
What the
hell is this?
Yep. Oh, it's funny. All right, so
it's like they both played. Yeah, in college, it would be like they both played MAC opponents in the previous 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
All right, let's get to the number two game on the board, the semi-main event. We give Stone Cold Steve Austin his just here with the entrance music. Chicago at Washington. Never thought I'd be saying this before the start of the season. I think this game probably held intrigue at the start of the season because we knew it would be Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, the number one pick versus the number two pick, similar to last year when Bryce Young and CJ Stroud faced off. The difference with this game is these are two teams that are playing well. These are two teams that are that I believe would be in the playoffs if the season ended today, both being quarterbacked by these guys. And most importantly, Seth, these are two teams that are not winning in spite of their rookie quarterbacks. Particularly in Washington's case, they're winning very much because of their rookie quarterbacks, although we will not get Jaden Daniels this week because of the injury.
That's for sure.
We will get Marcus Mariota, yeah. So,
who's also been playing well in this Cliff Kingsbury offense.
Yeah. So, he did. He had a really, really good game. So, Jaden Daniels has that rib injury. I believe he's going to miss. I don't know what he's listed as on the injury report.
I've seen it reported as unlikely to play or very good chance he doesn't play. No, it's with a rib injury, which I've been fighting through for the last 2 weeks. This is the NFL now, Jaden Daniels.
Right.
You can't get away. Look, you've got a slim and slender physique.
Seth.
You're going to have to learn how to deal with it.
Seth has been pounding through these radio shows with a broken rib. Because you...
I was the 2012 Sports Radio Rookie of the Year.
Right.
So Jaden Daniels is the presumptive Rookie of the Year right now. You got to be out there. Best ability is availability.
And you're the front runner for the 2024 Ed Block Courage Award for radio. For battling through this rib injury.
Four head injuries and a broken rib, probably.
I mean, I don't think it's close.
In 1 week,
I think it's close.
I think Ted Johnson got Sports Radio Rookie of the Year in 2012.
You guys are both pretty good.
Up.
Yeah. I was at another station. I was very jealous watching
guys
get to do your thing. Yeah, I told you. I was the biggest fan of Seth and Ted's Excellent Adventure or whatever the hell it is you called it.
That was the best show that Mark Vandermeer has ever executive produced. He decided to put Seth...
put his name on it?
We're going to put Seth and Ted together in a studio with microphones.
It was
without
awesome.
Without any clue what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, people enjoyed that.
It was great.
Ted and I got to revamp that. We'll bring that back. We need a sponsor.
Get him on your YouTube and just kind of workshop it a little bit, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. No, it was really good. You're welcome. The main event this weekend.
Well, what The Rock is cooking.
Dallas at San Francisco is the main event this weekend for me. And I know there's not a ton of games that involve teams with better records, like significantly better records, where you go, boy, that's more interesting than Dallas and San Francisco. These are two uniforms, if we're just looking at laundry, where you're like, all right, these are two blue bloods going against each other. These are also two blue bloods that are in... I don't want to say dire shape right now, but they're... I mean, look, big game for both these teams, man. Dallas is 3-3. I believe the Niners are 3-4, if I'm not mistaken. And it's not an elimination game or anything like that, but both these teams need this game very, very, very badly.
Look, I think this game, to go back to just, you know, natural hatred for the Cowboys, this could be very ugly for the Cowboys. I think there's a couple matchups in this game that do not bode well for them. One, like Nick Bosa versus either of those offensive tackles is not a good matchup for the Cowboys. Nick Bosa plays both sides of the line. I think he's probably going to be deboing his way over to whichever one is weaker in this performance. So I think Nick Bosa goes off. And then offensively, the Cowboys defense has been bad versus outside zone, and the 49ers can run the outside zone.
Yeah.
And like all the things that you brought in Mike Zimmer specifically to combat, one of those was the outside zone, and it hasn't been working out that well at all. Jordan Mason is not Christian McCaffrey, but he's been very good on outside zone runs. The Cowboys have faced the fourth most outside zone runs this season. Why is that? Because they suck at it. They're bottom four in EPA per play allowed against such runs. So I think the 49ers control this game on both sides of the line of scrimmage.
Okay. I like that. Yeah. Why is everybody blitzing the Texans all the time? Well.
Right, right. Yeah.
Well, San Fran, what do you think the line is on this game? I've got it in front of me.
I think it's probably, wait, it's in Dallas?
It's in San Francisco.
Oh, it's in San Francisco? I'd say -4.
It's -4. Yeah, you nailed it. Yeah, it's -4.
Yeah, I think they're more equally. I don't think they're as equal as the, which making them like relatively equal, you know, when you factor
on
in
a neutral
home field advantage. I think the 49ers are a better team.
If you were one of those touts, this would be a best bet for you, it sounds like. You sound very confident the Niners are going to run away with this game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Seth Payne, best bets right there.
Plus, there's probably going to be more 49ers fans there, too. I bet we'll get a little silent count out of the Cowboys.
Well, there will definitely be more 49ers fans in Santa Clara, I would say.
I went back to being in Dallas. Yeah, sorry.
That's okay.
In my head, it was in San Francisco. No matter how many times you say that it's in, gotcha. Sean, was I correct in my prediction? There'll be more 49ers fans.
You're definitely right about that.
Somehow in my head, I'm stuck in Dallas.
Yeah, I was in my mind. I'm going, okay, there's an angle with this. I'm going to tell Seth right now that the games in California and hope I'm not
Seth
missing
up
something
EPA
obvious
stats and then forgetting 20 seconds later that the game is actually in Santa Clara.
Quick text, a good lead in to Five Reasons I Hate You. This goes back to you talking about Kurt Warner trying to tell people how to Twitter. People be more positive. Someone said Twitter is the Waffle House of social media. It's where you go to get into a fight.
I know it is.
Okay. It's so true.
Honestly, that's one of the best things I've done for my mental health is that I flat out refuse to engage in debate on Twitter anymore.
That's smart.
I slip every now and then.
Yeah.
But I try to not do it with Texans fans or anything. Like, I'm just like, I'm not going to get into this because it's never ending.
Yeah.
And it's going to pivot off into 8 different directions. And I'm just not going to do it.
If you know it's not good for you, don't do it. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Five Reasons I Hate You. I think these are all original that I've come up with here for the Colts. Five Reasons I Hate You, Colts Edition, is coming up next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, let's do it. Let's get the appropriate amount of vitriol worked up over an opponent, the Indianapolis Colts. There's nothing, no stats, no analytics, no drive charts in this segment.
Yeah,
this is pure emotion.
This is just visceral. Yeah, I know where the game is being played.
Yep.
So one game this week that I can tell you for certain, I know where the venue is. It's at NRG Stadium.
You're sure?
Right?
Yeah.
I'm going to be there before the game.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, 9 a.m. Right. We got radio
to do.
Yeah. Look forward to seeing you there. So five reasons.
Miserable, sad sap, inbred, illiterate hillbillies in a state with no hills.
Save some, man. It's only 8:26. We got 11 more minutes to go.
All right,
let's do this. Five reasons I hate you. We hate the Colts. Reason number 5. This is the organization that housed one of the worst general managers in all of football. Maybe I should like them for that since they were in a division with the Texans. But that Ryan Grigson held a job and actually won Executive of the Year 1 year with the Colts.
Yeah.
Because the team he had was so bad, they were able to pick Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
Still offends me to this day. Trent Richardson was on the Pivot podcast, I believe. He was on a podcast. I forget which podcast it was.
It was the Pivot podcast.
Was it Pivot? Okay.
Yeah, Ryan Clark was talking to
That's
him.
That's right. Okay, so Pivot podcast. Trent Richardson, former running back, high pick of the Browns, third overall pick of the Browns, traded to the Colts for a first-round pick. He had this little Grigson anecdote.
You learn different ways to get through stuff. And so for me, I never turned to drugs, never did it. Never. I don't even drink. And so, man, like, imagine getting messed with about weight, right? I'm 232. We're only 4% of body fat. How can I lose weight? And now y'all trying to make this a thing, man. Have you ever been in a dang complex and your GM tell you that you dead to me?
Mm. Who was the GM at that time?
Ryan Grigson.
Mm.
Wow.
Mm. He said you're dead to me.
Yeah, said the same thing about Dirty. Well, he told me he said that about him.
We're good. Dirty is LeRon Landry, by the way.
So to recap and why that is all so stupid,
yeah,
is that I, you know, like, for one, I don't like Trent Richardson was bad in Cleveland already. It was clear that his vision, he just did not have good NFL vision. He'd come from a college where, man, the hole's gonna be there, it's going to be 5 foot wide at Alabama, and you're going to run through it. And he was really good in that regard. But the Colts traded a first-round pick for Trent Richardson.
Yeah.
And then that clown Ryan Grigson apparently tried to blame Trent Richardson's body fat or something for why Trent Richardson wasn't a good back.
Yeah.
You traded a first-round pick for
yes.
after averaging 3.6 yards per attempt in Cleveland. Yeah, no, he was one of the dumbest trades of all time.
Right.
So, yes, the finger-pointing that's just a flat-out character trait of Indianans
yes.
and Indianapolis Colts members, yes, to the extreme right
For
there.
Purposes of this segment, Grigson may as well still be a Colt. Reason number four, Sam Ehlinger is on the Colts. He's a backup quarterback. Remember, he played in the Week 18 game a couple years ago against the Texans? I still find Sam Ehlinger annoying based largely on this little quote here from the podium after a win in the Sugar Bowl a few years ago.
Longhorn Nation, we're back!
You're back. You're back now. It has nothing to do with you. Like, Longhorn Nation is back now. They're a top... But you were not back at all back then. Like, in fact, Tom Herman got fired a couple years later after that.
It sounded like the crowd was into it.
Yeah,
they can't potentially have had any issues with him saying we're back.
He popped in. Well, they were very drunk. I will say that at the time. It was in New Orleans at a bowl game late at night. I think they were very drunk. Yeah.
Yeah. The Sam Ehlinger, who also went to Westlake High as well,
yeah.
so one extra reason to despise the Westlake crew up
yeah,
there.
Yeah, the pretty boys. Yeah.
Trying to import Westlake. Yeah. All right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right. I'm surprised
he's probably, he's probably got hot take. I bet he's got hot takes about the Astros, just like other Westlake guys.
Like he probably
Clayton
does.
Kershaw.
For purposes,
I bet he and Clayton Kershaw get together and talk all kinds of smack about the Astros, make all kinds of excuses. Yep.
For purposes of this segment, he does have takes about the Astros. I guarantee it. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Reason number three to hate the Indianapolis Colts. You know who's on their practice squad? Derek Rivers. Derek Rivers, who was on and off of the Houston Texans so many times over the last 2 years, I got motion sickness reading his Wikipedia page. Like, he would get waived and brought back and put on the practice squad all the time. I think he spent more years with the Texans than Andre Johnson did. That's what it felt like in the end. He got put on and off of this team so much. But the big thing, you know who officiated his wedding?
Oh, there's one Chaplain Jack Easterby.
The people person.
Yes.
The people yeah. person officiated Derek Rivers' wedding.
The chaplain / character coach / vice president of operations for the Texans.
He's a Foge, an F-O-G-J-E, and friend of Jack Easterby. A Foge.
He was one of Jack Easterby's biggest champions, one of his best projects, one of his greatest stories.
He is a Colt. He is an Indianapolis Colt.
I always felt bad about that with Derek Rivers because he seems like a hell of a guy, and yet I cannot wash the stench away from you.
Yeah, that's it is quite the stench.
God, what if Jack Easterby shows up on the sidelines at this game on the
Colts?
Side?
That would be fun. It'd be a lot of fun. It would be good for Monday in Houston.
Yeah, that would be. Oh, that'd be awesome.
It'd be amazing.
That'd be awesome.
It would be amazing. All right. Reason number two. Pat McAfee and his crew are starting to annoy me. It is high time that they show up in Five Reasons I Hate You Colts edition. Here was J.J. Watt just trying to have an innocent conversation with Pat and his minions earlier this week about this matchup, this big matchup of AFC South foes.
Speaking of Indiana, we got Colts Texans. Saddest the last one of the year. It's already the second one. Sad it's so early.
Can be a good one.
Big game this weekend.
Yeah, and potentially that's why the game went the way it did against the Dolphins, because it was kind of a trap game, because we're looking ahead to the Texans.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But Colts are able to take care of business.
Mm-hmm. AR is undefeated in Houston.
Yeah. And on the
why do you have to look ahead to the Texans? That means they're in front of you, doesn't it? Yeah, that does.
Yeah, on the calendar, actually.
For now.
On the calendar, it was ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. No, on the standings also.
Well, it's been a long decade with you guys potentially being above us on the standings.
One game up.
That's right. We win this one. Hold it in conversation.
Have to throw for more than 86 yards, brother.
Yeah, what's going on? Is everything okay down there? Is Slowick losing it?
Okay. Yeah, okay. I've had enough of these guys.
Yeah, this is the thing that annoyed me about that one was that I feel like McAfee thought that he had gotten JJ by, like, countering his own point. Yeah. Like, McAfee had said, well, they might have been looking ahead to the Texans.
Yeah.
And JJ was like, yeah, and why were you looking ahead to the Texans? And then McAfee was like, well, because it's on the calendar that way.
Yeah.
Like, right. But you were fixated on them because you're ahead of the... You can't use your own point against you.
Yeah.
You just argued against your own point, McAfee.
Yep. Yep.
He's been living in Indiana too long.
Yeah, man.
He got a good Pennsylvania public education, and then he went off to a land where 25%, only 25% of Indianans are literate,
yeah.
And it's infected him.
I still can't tell the difference between the voices of Cowboy Hat Guy and Mullet Guy among the McAfee crew there.
They're different people?
They're different. Well, I mean, they're different human beings, but they're. I get your point. Like, they're.
Are they friends of Pat's from high school or something?
That's a good
or?
Question. They, whatever. If they, you know what, if they're friends of his from high school that they have taken Indianapolis and the Colts on so strongly, it's.
They're, I feel like they Pittsburgh. Do a lot of dirty work for Pat McAfee.
Probably.
I feel like there's a whole lot of like, yeah, I'm responsible for bringing up clips on the internet during the show, but also. I'm also responsible for getting NDAs signed.
Yeah,
and just,
burying bodies,
procuring substances on the road,
right,
whatever it might be.
Right. So
hiding murder weapons.
Reason number two: McAfee and his crew are getting to be very annoying. Reason number one, and I'm going to drag all of you into the world. This damn tune has been ringing in my head for 2 days. Seth DeFlo Erskine's. Mm-hmm. The anthem, the Colts anthem guy, has not made one for the Texans that I have found yet. He usually drops them Friday around lunchtime.
Yeah.
But this is what, Ben, let's play the first one that he did for the Texans in week one. If you've not been listening when we talk about the Colts and this guy, get ready. Here we go.
All right, Colts season is here. Let's go, Colts! Woo! This is our Colts. This is our team. We bleed blue. This is our Colts, whether win or lose, we love them. For the shoe, beat the Texans, let Goodson get his good pay back. This is our team, go Colts!
Look, before anybody starts in, this is not like a, this is not a guy who's, you know, as far as we know, nobody's come up and said, hey, he's... You know, a little, he's got slow. Challenges or something like that. Yeah. No, he's just a weirdo.
Yeah.
He's just a weirdo from Indianapolis.
Yes.
That, that makes these, he does it with the Colts mascot and like in a weird, like uncomfortable furry type situation. He'll bring cheerleaders in or you can tell he's like, he's probably like violating some kind some kind of court order against having women in his place. It's a creepy, weird thing, and Colts fans love it.
They love
it. They think this is the essence of everything that's right with the shoe.
He is going into the Ring of Honor. Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, Dwight Freeney, Seth DeFlo Erskine.
I hope this is the week that Jim Irsay is playing lead guitar in this rendition of this week.
When it comes out,
I hope Jim Irsay makes an appearance.
I'll keep an eye out for it. Hopefully it drops before the end of the show.
This is our Colts.
This is our team. We bleed blue. Same way I'm bleeding right now from this bullet wound I just got.
Irsay ducks down out of camera view and then pops back up with his eyes wide open. Perfect elocution.
And nays
all over his face.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
people weighing in on the text page. Reason number five to hate the Colts: Anthony Richardson makes any wide receiver unplayable in fantasy. Screw that sub 50% D-bag. And then they say, actually, I don't think he's a D-bag. He seems like a really good dude. But F him. Hey. If you have any wide receiver on the Colts, that's bad news in fantasy.
And I'll remind people of my long-standing order to Houstonians. If Jim Irsay ever tries to pull that crap again where he signs a $100 bill and gives it to an opposing fan because he's such a generous bro, throw it, crumple it up and throw it in his face.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
I will reimburse you that $100.
Okay.
If you crumple it up and throw it in his face.
We need video proof that it happened though. Seth isn't just gonna go walk around handing $100 bills to people.
Yeah, Big Daddy Irsay trying to buy middle-aged men's affection with signed $100 bills. Yeah.
Text message. I hate that the city of Indianapolis requires two forms of ID to get in, a driver's license and a tramp stamp. That's a good one.
You know what? One of the other thing too, one of their promotional videos from the off season, they played, oh, it was when they were unveiling their new uniforms, I think, or their alternate uniforms. They played Indiana Knights, the Tom Petty song. And it's like, this is how stupid they are. That song is about like people that are disillusioned. Yeah, literally tired of this town.
Yes.
Like staring down at Market Square.
No.
Basically wanting to get the hell out of there because their life sucks. Like, I got to get out of here. I've got to get out of here.
Dude.
Hey, that sounds like a song that we should put in front of one of our hype videos. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. Well, Born in the USA is the same thing, right? Like, Born in the USA is not...
Yeah, it's not an over-the-top patriotic song or anything. It's a yeah.
At all.
But it gets used that way a lot.
It does, because it's got, like, this hype beat to it.
Because it's got Born in the USA.
Yeah, and Bruce Springsteen's rasping it out. Yeah. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. A text message. That's old. Get new material. We did use Seth Erskine on the first one, but that anthem thing is just too good not to use.
Well, he keeps putting out new content.
He does.
Kinda.
He does every week. He does a different one every week.
Last Dance with Mary Jane. One More Time to Kill the Pain. I feel summer creeping in and I'm tired of this town again.
Yeah.
This is somebody Woo-hoo! Who wants to leave before Woo-hoo! Summer comes.
Woo-hoo! Yeah. Go Indy.
Oh, summer in Indianapolis? God, no.
We love
Get me the hell out of here.
For the shoe.
I'm going back to Pensacola, or wherever the hell Tom Petty's from. Yeah.
Let's get to next segment. An NBA player has one of the worst takes and cross-sport comparisons that you are going to hear. Another former NBA player is a hero. You'll hear the audio of that coming up next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast. Hey, Seth, have your good clothes ready for Monday, because I don't know if you saw the open to the Thursday night game. I know you've seen the open to Thursday night games before, where they splice in little shots of local radio hosts saying crazy things about the game coming up this weekend and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I believe they're going to be up here filming us for that on Monday.
Yeah. I had to sign a waiver with NFL Media.
Did you have your lawyer look at it first, or did you just go ahead and sign it?
No, I just signed it.
Yeah,
I didn't even fill in the date at the top or like the game or anything, so they can use it for anything, basically.
Yeah.
They can just keep that and just bring it up whenever they need to. Whenever I sue them for using my image unlawfully.
They now have rights to your YouTube channel, and you didn't even know it.
They basically, I think they own all of my rights to everything. I did write Go Die Ian Rapoport on the bottom of
you
it.
Did?
Though, so, yeah. Okay. There was that.
Okay, good. I'm glad you got that opinion in there.
So at least if it ever becomes a public document in a court battle or something, they'll see that I said I wrote Go Die Ian Rapp.
They'll know how you feel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant was on Kay Adams' podcast earlier this week. So she's branching out and talking to basketball players now, I guess, too.
She gets so many good interviews.
She's a good interviewer, too. Like, she gets them talking, you know? Mm-hmm. She asked Kevin Durant to do maybe sort of a cross-sport comparison about the Phoenix Suns, like, hey, what NFL team would you compare your Phoenix Suns to that you're on right now?
I need to know about the Suns as far as an NFL comp. Who is the team that they embody in the NFL, you think?
I would say the Chiefs, because we bring that championship mentality every day,
baby. Let's go. I mean, some might say the Suns have never won it. They've been to the big game. They haven't won. But look, I love the confidence. I was going to say the Bills. Why? Mm-hmm.
Because they're known for getting there and just then losing. I don't want to be one of those guys. So I'd rather go with the champs and just take on that mentality.
Yeah, but you are those guys. I'm looking at your franchise history since you got there. You were not there for that. They lost in the finals back in the day several years ago. But Western Conference semis, lost. Western Conference semis, lost. Last year, y'all lost in the first round last year.
Mm-hmm.
The hell are you talking? I get you want that.
Yeah, the Bills are the perfect boy. I wonder, did she go further with her Bills comp in saying that? Did she basically like lay it out for him that this is why?
Their history recently looks a lot like the Bills in the postseason.
I know, yeah.
Yeah.
What about, what would you say, what's the comp if you just look at the composition of the team itself? And like, given that they've disappointed or
they've disappointed,
you.
And they've got guys.
If it's not the Bills,
and they've got guys that kind of annoy you a little bit too, I think. And Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, guys like that.
Undelivered promise. You know what? They might be the Cowboys.
They might be the Cowboys.
Be the Cowboys.
They
might be. Boy, you've got these stars.
Got these names.
Everything on paper looks like it should be an unstoppable force.
No.
And yet.
The Lakers currently are the Cowboys. You know, I guess the difference would be the Lakers actually won a championship in the COVID year.
Yeah.
Because the Lakers have that glitz and glamour to go with it, and yet they're very disappointing in the postseason every year,
too. Yeah, okay. All right, so maybe the Bills. We'll settle in on the Bills.
I think the Bills are actually a good comp. That's a good job by Kay Adams. I think the Bills are the comp for them right now. I know it's not the Chiefs, Kevin Durant. I think we're the Chiefs. We got that mentality. You mean the mentality they got you knocked out in the first round of the playoffs last year?
Who are the Rockets, then? The Rockets might be the Texans.
The Rockets are the Texans
like
from a year
ago. Texans. Yes. You hope they're last year's Texans.
Yeah.
Last year was a more promising year for the Rockets than 2022 was for the Texans.
It was.
But they're kind of in that mode where, all right, you've got some nice young pieces here.
Yeah.
You've got a bunch of veterans on. The Rockets, just like the Texans did, have tried to bolster with veterans, not necessarily marquee guys, but guys that can teach the younger guys how to be pros.
Dude, the parallels between the Rockets and the Texans go back to James Harden and Deshaun Watson requesting a trade within days of each other.
Yeah.
And they've been very... very similar strategies and trajectories since then, including the head coaches that they finally settled on to take this thing to the next level. I think there's a lot of similarities between D'Amico Ryans and Ime Udoka.
Is Houston ready to proclaim Jalen Green this team's CJ Stroud?
No.
Are we? I don't think so. I don't think there's an appetite for that just yet. Yeah.
No. And yet Jalen's making a ton of money now, man. So that was really dumb from Kevin Durant. Now, I love this from Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley hates load management. This is his get off my lawn thing, Charles Barkley. Mm-hmm. But I'm here for it because Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers has basically openly declared he's not playing the back end of back-to-backs this year.
Yeah.
Because of load management. Here's Charles Barkley's thoughts on that.
Man, I don't have any idea what the Sixers are doing. You know, I don't think it's fair. Now, listen, I want to get this number right because this is crazy. And bless the kid, number one. He just signed for 3 years, $193 million.
Oh my God.
3 years, $193 million to play basketball. We're not steel workers. We're not nurses. Like, people who got like real jobs who have to work 40, 50 hours a week, we're playing basketball at the most 4 days a week. Most of the time, 3 days a week. He has the best backup in the league and Drummond. If they had to say it, and Ken and Shaq know this, yeah, he just say, I'm going to play 25 minutes on the second night or back-to-back. Or then Drummond plays. But to come out and say it in advance was a stupidity by the Sixers, period.
Yeah, it's a big middle finger to all your season ticket holders that show up to watch Joel Embiid play, you know?
I know, it is a little bit ironic coming from a guy who is known for riding the stationary bike while everybody else practiced while he was eating an Egg McMuffin. I feel like the old school sentiment, it's not even an old school sentiment. You can be 19 years old and you're buying tickets to a game and you want to be able to see Joel Embiid play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's making $193 million, man. And that's where, you know, Nick Wright had a really good video on this yesterday on his, not on First Things First, but on his podcast that he posted about the NBA and kind of this kind of fork in the road that it's at right now that you could see coming, where it's a TV product first and foremost, and you're kind of at this fork in the road where winning a championship and the things that are best for winning a championship are not the things that are best for delivering a good in-arena and TV product for 6 months leading up to the postseason. You know,
it's almost one of those things where Meltzer and I used to argue about this because Meltzer would point out accurately that point to a time when a really successful league has reduced the number of games and it's worked out well financially. Because usually the fact of the matter is they play this many games, they make a lot of money based on those games,
it's
and
inventory.
That's why teams expand.
It's inventory.
I wonder with the NBA, though, if it really might be, man, it would change the product so much if the games meant more.
Yeah.
And if it lined up kind of with what the load management physiology says and everything, that, man, you might get that many more. I like, with an extreme reduction in the number of games. Go to a 60-game season or something. They might, it might create that much more juice and improve the quality of play that it might actually be a good move.
I
don't know. But I don't think anybody's got the gonads to try it.
No, I don't think so either. Well, a lot of it's greed, like you said. Like, less inventory is less money. And
greed, and you're also already locked into TV contracts.
Yeah.
So it would take, like, okay, the next time you do TV contracts, you're going to go to the networks and say, hey, by the way, we'd like more money, but we're going to give you less inventory.
Right, right.
That's a little bit of a leap of faith on both sides there.
I think the only league that could get away with that right now would be the NFL. You know what I mean? Like, I think if the NFL, if it turns out like a 17th game, or we know an 18th game is coming, that if all of a sudden there was this big rise in injuries that you could somehow tie to just too many games.
Yeah.
If the NFL went back to its broadcast partners at the next go round and said, hey, instead of 18, we're only giving you 16 and we'd like the same amount of money, they would do it. They would do it for the NFL, I think.
Yeah, I don't think it doesn't make sense for baseball, because on any given day, it's just part of baseball where there's not as many star players that affect that specific game. So it's not, if you show up and Altuve's got a rest day or something, it doesn't detract from your experience.
That's a really good point. Like, there are guys you pay tickets to see, but there's so many other guys out there on the field, you know. And plus, I think baseball has a quaintness to it, going to a baseball game, I think, is a little different in terms of just the vibe than going to a basketball game.
NBA is so centered on the stars and wanting to see this guy in person. Yeah,
baseball is
a real
lot,
letdown when you show up and they're not there.
A lot about baseball is like sitting drinking beer with your buddies and, you know, being in a lot of places, being outside in the summertime and things like that. Hey, college basketball season is just around the corner. Speaking of basketball, don't miss your chance. Cougs and the Aggies are doing a charity exhibition game this Sunday at 4 p.m. So you're getting a chance to watch two really good programs go against each other at the Fertitta Center. Grab your tickets now, just $35. Proceeds are going to benefit those affected by Hurricane Beryl. So this is a great cause. People affected right here in the Houston area, call 713-GO-COUGS or visit uhcougars.com/tickets. to get those tickets now. Bobby Slowick addresses the issues. Three big issues with this offense that we were waiting to hear from the Texans OC from yesterday. How did he do? We will let you guys give it a listen coming up next.